G'day and welcome to Conversations on Faith FM with Robbie, Alicia and Brad. This is your place to explore faith, life and everything in between. Text in your thoughts on today's conversation on 0488 185 00. Now, get ready to join the conversation right across Australia, right here on Faith FM.
Hey there, good afternoon, Australia, and welcome to Conversations for another week. How are you doing, Alicia?
Good to be here.
It is very good to be here. If you're listening live, today is Monday, the 29th of September.
23rd.
23rd. What is, I don't know, numbers just aren't doing
it's
much.
Almost the 29th, so. It's almost. It's going that quick, yeah, so you're okay.
Yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's the problem. Well, we're stoked to have you here with us on Conversations, and as Alicia reminded me, it's actually the 23rd of September. Maybe if you're listening on the 29th, congratulations.
Yeah.
You win a special prize or something. I don't know. Being right or me being wrong. Oh, well, that's all good. Hey, we don't have Robbie with us today.
No, we don't.
Unfortunately, he's been up in Queensland, which is where he lives. So it's not really a surprise, but he's been busy with Lloyd and Hunty from the Aussie Pastor live all last week. So he's been doing the 3:30 to 5:30 slot every day.
Every single day.
Yep. So he's probably earned a break, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I think
so. Yeah. Well, we'll let him know. If I was going to say, maybe text in if you think Robbie has earned a break. Maybe if you caught any of those programs, because we actually we graciously let Robbie use our time slot last week.
Yes, we gave it to them free of charge.
Yep.
So hopefully, you know.
Oh, you gave it to them free of charge.
Yes, I did. No, oh, okay, we did.
Cool. Maybe we should split the $20. Nah.
So hopefully some listeners tuned in and, you know, were able to be a part of that.
Yeah, they had some really interesting conversations that they were having. You know, one of the last ones I caught on Friday, which was about America, China, Russia, Rome, and the end times in the Bible.
Oh, wow. So that's always an interesting thing to talk about too.
Absolutely. So actually, if you're interested in catching up on some of those programs that Robbie was doing with Lloyd and Hunty from the Aussie Pastor Live, make sure you visit the Faith FM Facebook page and the Faith FM website, where you might be able to see some links for them. We do actually have a page on the faithfm.com.au website. And if you look for the Aussie Pastor Live at South Queensland SQLD Big Camp 2024, you can actually catch up on all of those shows.
Awesome.
Some really neat stuff in there. And I can guarantee if you like the sort of conversations we have on this show, you're really going to dig the ones that Robbie and Hunty and Lloyd were having all last week. So feel free to text in on 0488 185 00 if you were actually listening to those and what you enjoyed about them, or maybe you have a question that you'd like to pitch towards Lloyd or Robbie sometime, or even towards us. We love taking questions here on Conversations. We actually had a question come in the other week from a listener on Facebook who was asking us to have a conversation about Islam.
Oh, okay.
Which is
an
interesting topic of conversation. And we're doing a bit of prep work in the background at the moment, so we can have a good and informed discussion on that. But I do actually want to put it out there because, you know, it's like if someone says, have a conversation about Australia.
Mm.
Like, well, that's a very big topic to have a conversation. Yeah. You know, do you want to know about
there are
about
a lot of different things you can talk about.
Exactly. Do you want to know about the history? Do you want to know about the culture? Do you want to know about where people think Australia is going to be in 20 years' time? You know, there's a lot of different things. So I guess while we're doing some of this prep work to have a bit of a conversation in a future episode about Islam, interesting topic, we'd love it if you could text in any questions or areas that you're interested in that we can actually direct this conversation with.
Yeah, for sure.
So feel free to text in on 0488 185 00. That is 0488 185 00, and we'll use your questions to direct that conversation that we'll have in maybe next week, maybe a couple of weeks' time, once we've properly done the research, because it's a big and an interesting topic to talk about. And you know, I suppose on Conversations we're pretty good at talking about the Bible, because we already invest a bit of time into studying it and knowing it. But when you're approaching something that you don't know as much about, you want to give it the time it deserves.
And for sure.
We want to make sure we're fair. So, feel free to text in 0488 185 00. If you do have any questions or areas of interest on the whole topic of Islam that we're going to be having a conversation about, you know, from the perspective of Christians in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, cool.
But apart from that, you know, Alicia, it's been, I guess it's been 2 weeks now since our last live show because
of
being around and being away. And we did actually promise on the show the other week that we were going to mug some people.
We are. And we are going to mug. We're going to mug a few people.
We're going to mug a few people
on the show.
So thank you for everybody who texted in and entered the draw to win a Faith FM mug.
Yes.
They're great. I love them.
Yeah, I'm using one today. You know, just out of thing because the weather here is not too great. So I had my nice hot cup of hot chocolate in my Faith FM mug.
Perfect. Perfect use for it. So we're going to be giving away 5 of them today.
Yes.
And a little bit later in the show, we're going to go through and announce the names of some of the winners and then we'll get in touch with you.
Yep.
And we'll make sure we get one posted out to you. And hey, maybe once you get it, you can have yourself a nice hot chocolate like Alicia and even send us a little picture of you using your Faith FM mug.
Yes, that'll be awesome.
We love seeing how people use the Faith FM stuff that they win.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sometimes people send us pictures with the books that they might get or, you know, from time to time we give away mugs or hats or all sorts of different things and we love seeing what you're doing with them. So, yeah, feel free to always send us in messages or pictures, whatever you like, on 0488 185 00. So, Alicia, how has your, I suppose, fortnight been? What you been up to?
Yeah, it's been really good. Not much. I think that was the calm before the storm because now it's the school holidays and we have all of our nieces and stuff at home.
Oh, okay.
So there's...
how many people are in your house at the moment?
So we've got five older girls. That's ranging between 10 to 14. And then we've got 5 under 5s.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Yes.
How are you managing that? You get all the inflatable beds you have?
Yeah, we've got inflatable beds. Last night we set it all up. And yeah, I think coming to work is my school holiday. So... but yeah, it's been good and I always look forward to the holidays because it's always good when our nieces just all get together and, you know, just to watch them grow up. Some of them are getting too old to hang out with the little ones. So we're just sort of figuring out what to do with them, I think, in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, that's been my, you know, last fortnight or so. Just preparing for the crazy fortnight that we have ahead. But yeah, it's good. What about you?
I have been up in, so this was, when was it? Not last Thursday, but the one before I was up in Newcastle for one of my cousins getting married.
Oh, okay, nice.
Tobin was getting married to Tia. It was a really nice wedding.
Oh,
in the Hunter
cool.
Valley, a spot called Pecolbin.
Pecolbin, I've never heard of it.
Look up some pictures. It's a really pretty spot.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think it's like, you know, Adelaide has the Barossa Valley.
Yeah.
Melbourne has the Yarra Valley. And to me, at least, I'd say Newcastle or even New South Wales has the Hunter Valley. It's a really pretty spot.
Yeah.
They say to grape growing out there. There's often gardens.
Oh, nice.
All sorts of nice things. And so, yes, that's where it was out there.
Oh, cool.
It was nice being able to see and catch up a bit with a lot of family my cousins and all that sort of thing and seeing my granddad and Nana on mum's side as well.
Oh, nice. That's always a good time when you catch up with family.
Yeah,
especially at good, like, nice occasions like a wedding. I love weddings. I think they're my favorite things to go to. I would just go to anyone's wedding.
Oh, yeah?
If I was to walk past and saw a wedding, I'd just stand there in awe of just love, I think.
You know what you need to do? You need to go to, like, India or Nepal or something like that, where they have those big weddings where they parade you through the street.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just kind of get yourself invited.
Yeah, yeah.
You just kind of stand there and they kind of rip you in. You get a bunch of random food and people talking to you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it can happen. I don't know. I guess wedding crashing is a different sort of thing in other countries as to what it is in Australia.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, here in Australia, or like in a lot of Western countries, it's like you have the very strict guest list.
Oh, yes, and your seating plans and RSVPs and strictly no invites and dress codes and everything.
Well, I mean, maybe that's another question we can chuck out to people. You know, what sort of wedding do you think is best? Do you think it's a casual wedding where you can actually just say to people, yeah, yeah, come along. Come yeah. on. Like if someone unexpected rocks up to the ceremony, just go, no, no, come along, you know, come to reception. Yeah, we got, yeah. we got food, we got room, no worries. Or is it, you know, is it more appropriate to actually say, we've got the list and this is what it's going to be. And,
yep.
you know, we're just going to have to manage, you know.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah. Always interested in knowing what people think about these sorts of things because it seems to change a bit. Like,
yeah, it does.
I remember when I got married, it was very much a no, you got to have very strict.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Very strict lists. And then I've been to weddings semi-recently where I was like, no, you know, it's more of a family party sort of thing.
Oh,
and
okay,
so,
yeah.
you know, it's just you invite the family and the broader friends, and if people can come, great. And if they can't, well, you know, it's all right.
Yeah, see, in our culture, it's more like if you know that someone's getting married, then you can just rock up. Hardly been to a wedding where it's like a seating plan or like strict invites. It's just very open. So sometimes cool. you could have like 200 to 300 people there.
Oh, wow.
At one time. And it's fine. Like there's just somehow enough food and enough space for everyone. So,
awesome. I love it. Yeah. And this one's, I think, a pretty fun. I think it's a bit less stressful. Maybe this is just depends on the people that are organizing it. Just for some people, you're like, oh, the idea of people just randomly rocking up. What if it's my uncle who always causes problems and something like that?
We all have an uncle like that.
Yeah, I know, what was it? My mum's got a cousin. We call him Unky Rob. He's the funniest guy.
Oh,
this is not someone that causes problems. It's just randomly reminded me of it because we were talking a little bit about weddings and weddings overseas and things like that. And I remember the first time I met him, it was up in Queensland somewhere, I think, and having this conversation with him about, oh, you know, like when you're meeting someone for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so have you traveled? You know, are you interested in this? What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. And we were having this conversation, me and my brothers, with him, like, oh, yeah, so, you know, have you traveled? Have you been overseas? He goes, overseas? Nah, don't need to go overseas. I've seen it on Getaway. Why would I need to go when I've already seen it?
It kind of has a point, but I like that way of thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, he's been to Paris, he's been to London.
He's been everywhere. He's
been to New York. You know, he doesn't need to actually go there because he's seen it. So, therefore, he's been there and that's all good.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Mm.
I think I need to think more like that because I'm in a phase in my life where I'm trying to plan where our first family trip is going to be with like our twins and stuff.
Yeah, cool.
And Austin's like, you know, that's going to cost a lot of money. So maybe we'll just stick to
videos
or something.
There's a certain age though, right, where you don't have to pay for a plane seat for them.
For a seat for the kids,
you just got to like plan it in that kind of bracket.
And then, for sure.
And then you'll be right.
So that's what I'm doing.
That's fun. Planning stuff's always fun. Hey, you're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. If you're listening live today, it's Monday, the 23rd of September. Got it right that time?
Yes, well done.
Yeah, thank you. I feel very proud. And here in Melbourne, where we are coming to you live from, it is 3:47 p.m. in the afternoon of a kind of sort of day, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it is.
Nothing special, but nothing gross, really. It's just kind of,
But
you know what's not, This next song that's coming up, which is called Steadfast by Josh Garrels. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. We'll be back just after this song.
I will build my house where the storm won't drive on a rock that does not move. I will set my hope in your love, oh Lord, in your faithfulness will prove you are steadfast, you are steadfast by the word you. All the starry hosts are called out by name each night. In your watchful care, I will rest secure as you lead me with your light. you are steadfast. Steadfast, you are steadfast. Steadfast, I will not trust in the strength of kings. On your promise I will stand. I will shout for joy. I will raise my voice. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You are steadfast. Steadfast. You are steadfast. Darkness, your light was revealed. In the presence of death, your life was affirmed. In the absence of holiness, you are still God. You are steadfast. Steadfast. You are steadfast.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00. That's right, you are here on Conversations with Brad and Alicia today. And before the break, but it wasn't really before the break. That song you just heard, which was the break, technically, was Josh Garrell's with Steadfast from the album Peace to All Who Enter Here. Pretty nice song, that one. And today on Conversations, what we're actually going to be talking about, you know, we can give away the game because we're going to get there soon, is we're going to be talking a bit about Moses.
Mm.
Because Moses is one of the most... You know, is he one of the most well-known Bible characters, right?
I would think so, yeah. Even from, like, when we are children, Moses is usually one of the first. I remember, like, when I used to teach Sabbath school, we always used to make the little Moses basket.
Oh.
It's always, like, the go-to. That and the ark.
The crafts.
Yeah, yeah. It's our go-to crafts. So I think Moses is quite a popular Bible figure.
Yeah, well, I mean, even amongst people who aren't Christians,
for sure.
The story of Moses, I guess, is one that's actually well known enough that people would know it.
Yeah,
you know, you've got like that really famous film, The Ten Commandments, for example, which came out in the 60s or something like that. But that was like, you know, the biggest movie in the world at the time and all that sort of thing. That's the story of Moses, right?
Yeah.
And for Christians and, you know, even for Jesus, for Paul, for a lot of Jews, Moses was somebody who was very influential and important. Mm. And there's a lot of parallels between Moses' life and Jesus' life.
Yeah.
So we're actually going to dig into a bit of the story of Moses today and see how, you know, God worked in his life and what that means for us today.
Yeah.
Because here on Conversations and on Faith FM in general, we believe that the Bible's not just some random old history book or story book or anything like that. It's a really important description of people.
Yeah.
People who lived with God, engaged with God, you know, it's not just random things that were happening thousands of years ago. This is people who had like a relationship with God, for better or for worse in some cases.
Yep.
And, you know, I personally think that there's a lot that we can learn from these today that can benefit our own relationship with God. So that's the reason why it's important to know the Bible.
Yeah, for sure.
And, I mean, I don't know about you, Alicia, but I know a lot of people who kind of say, oh, well, you know, the Old Testament, so that first half of the Bible or first two-thirds of the Bible, it's not that important anymore because...
I've heard that a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas the reality is, you know, God in the Old Testament operates the exact same way as he does in the New Testament, just, you know, through Jesus instead of through God. So it's just a bit closer.
Yeah.
So we get a bit of a closer view of what God's like and what his values are and how he acts, which is pretty cool. But we see a lot of that through the story of Moses anyway. So we're going to get there soon. But I guess the reason I actually wanted to talk about this today was when I was up in Newcastle a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but when I go to weddings and things like that, you know, it's often like weddings or funerals or, you know, parties or something like that, where you have a whole bunch of family around. Sometimes it leads you to kind of just reassess things in your life.
Okay.
Like you're thinking about, this is really nice seeing all my family again.
Oh, yes, I know.
Sharing some nice food together and sharing stories and catching up. And then you kind of think to yourself, what do I spend all of my time doing?
Yeah.
I'm spending all of my time doing these other things, worrying about these other things, trying to prep and prepare and collect and blah, blah, blah. Whereas what I actually want to do is spend time with my family. That's what brings
it's like
me
the
happiness. Yeah. And, you know, I often find that when I'm at a wedding or a funeral or a party, a lot of the time that's kind of the end result of being there. It's kind of like I think about, well, you know, I do all this work and I do all these jobs and I do all blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But what is actually really important? You know, am I doing them to enable me to do the things that matter, like spending time with family? Or am I doing those for some other reason and they're actually getting in the way of me being able to spend time with my family?
I gotcha, yeah.
Have you ever felt that sort of thing?
Yeah. And I can relate, especially, you know, when I think about my kids and stuff. And like you were saying, going to those events sort of makes you realize, sometimes it makes me realize how busy how busy I get for my family. Like sometimes my family might just live down the road or just, you know, just like a couple hours away or something. And it's kind of sad, I guess, in a way where it takes events like a birthday or a wedding or even a funeral, you know, for us to really get together and spend time. So, yeah, I totally understand. What you mean.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's kind of why I wanted to talk about Moses today, because there's aspects of this sort of thing in Moses' life as well, you know, and we see it very early on. And there's a lot of things to do with family. You know, like basically if you look at it, the first, you know, you'd almost say two-thirds of Moses' life are kind of directly talking about what's the deal with his family and, you know, who was his original family and then his adoptive family.
How did he get there?
And then, you know, and then something happens, which we'll reveal a bit, and he disappears and he marries into a new family.
Yeah.
He's out with them for yonks. And you know, then he has this encounter with God. Then he comes back and he engages with his old family again. So there's a lot of different family-related stuff in there, and I guess it's a good sort of link to understand why family was so important in Moses' life as well. So let me just quickly double-check how much time we got for this. Oh, we've got plenty of time for the song. All right, so we're going to go to the book of Exodus, and we'll go to we can spend a bit more time looking into this today, I think. So let's actually go from chapter 1. We'll probably read today Exodus 1 and 2, like the two chapters we'll look into.
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, that kind of gives us the context to the story. And, you know, we've talked about many times on conversations that context is so important.
Key. Yes.
and then we'll kind of read, you know, the first part of Moses' story and see what we get out of it.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 1, and how's about we read, what's important? Let's go from verse 1 maybe through to verse 5 to start off.
Verse 1 to 5, cool. Yep. So this is Exodus chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and it reads, "These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt.
Okay, so I guess what we can gather from this to start with, so we have, you know, a particular family that's moving from what we know to be Canaan, so modern-day Israel / Palestine, that sort of area.
Yeah.
And they're moving to Egypt with their families.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you've heard of some of these names before as a Christian, you know, the names of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, et cetera, et cetera. What we know of today, more or less, as the 12 tribes of Israel come from these guys.
Mm.
So it's their descendants. So the Reubenites, the Simeonites, the Levites, the Jews descend from Judah. So, you know, that's where we get the modern name Jews, and that's where we get the modern notion of who these people are.
Yeah.
They are descendants of Judah, who was the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham.
Yeah.
So that gives us, I suppose, the context for what's going on. They had a younger son whose name was Joseph, who through a twisty-turny series of events was betrayed by his family, but there was a purpose for it in the end that God worked out of it in order to actually save the rest of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Joseph became, you know, the second most important person in Egypt after the Pharaoh. And he was able to save not only his family, but basically everybody in the country.
Mm.
And not only that, saving people's lives in all of the countries around Egypt from a massive famine as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's kind of the broader context of what's going on. So at least now we know we've got some descendants of Abraham and they're in Egypt.
Yep.
All right, cool. So let's go. Maybe we'll read verse 6 through to 10.
Cool. And it reads, "Now Joseph and all his brothers and all the generation died, and all that generation died. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them." Verse 8, "Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become more and they'll become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country."
Hmm. Okay. So this is kind of interesting, right? We get this picture that, okay, so Joseph and his brothers died, that generation wraps.
Yeah.
But the Israelites, these guys, they stay in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure, why not? You know, that seems to be the place where things are happening.
Yeah, yeah.
They could have gone back to Canaan, I guess, but they didn't. Don't know. We see that a new pharaoh comes to power in Egypt. He doesn't know much about Joseph or, you know, how Joseph had saved his whole country.
Mm.
He's just doing, for what it's worth, a fairly pragmatic thing.
Yeah.
He's thinking, well, I mean, if there's a bunch of people in our country who outnumber us...
Yeah.
If they decide that they don't like us anymore, well, we're stuffed, aren't
we? Yeah, pretty much.
And to be fair, it's not as if there's no context given that kind of says, oh, and the Israelites were plotting to overthrow the Egyptians or anything like that.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
We don't necessarily understand the context of the political situation here or anything like that. But it seems, though, as though up until this point... the Israelites were living there. It doesn't seem as though they were causing problems for the Egyptians or anything like that.
There was just a lot of them.
Yeah, there was just a lot of them. And so what Pharaoh does is actually a bit uncalled for, right?
Yeah.
Because we'll see what happens in the next couple of verses. So if we read, let's see, we're going to just start with verse 11, for example.
Yeah, for sure. So... we're still in Exodus chapter 1, verse 11, and it says, "So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh."
Hmm, okay. So what's Pharaoh's response to this? He doesn't, I mean, you know, what would be the right response, I guess, to actually sit down and say, let's have a conversation or say, all right, maybe it's time for you guys to go. You know, you were here for a bit or
go
whatever.
Go back
to your place, whatever. You know, I suppose there's some different avenues that they could have
been other
taken.
Ways, yeah.
But what Pharaoh does is a not particularly nice course of action by our standards, at least. Mm. He goes, all right, we're going to make you into slaves.
That was very straightforward, eh? Like,
yeah.
Going from there's just a lot of them to, so they just put slave masters over them.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, it's, you know, obviously it's contained in one sentence here, but we don't necessarily know what it looked like. Did they just march the army in, or did they did they bribe people? Did they just kind of send out a decree one day and saying, guess what? This is what's happening, and if you fight against us, you're going to die, or...
Yeah.
We don't know exactly. But what we do know is that, you know, it says that they made them slaves, they worked them incredibly hard, and they treated them cruelly and forced them to work. And interestingly enough, in verse 12 it says, but the more the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. And maybe I'll just read 13 and 14 as well. So the Egyptians forced the people of Israel to work without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and to make bricks and to do all the work in the fields, and they were ruthless in their demands. Okay, so...
Would you say up until this point the Israelites were okay in Egypt?
It seems like it, because, you know, up until this point... It seems as though the royal family had looked back at Joseph and said, okay, so the reason these Israelite people are in our country is because their leader did something incredibly important for us, and we want to honor and respect that.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why it points out in verse 8 that the Pharaoh that's currently in power, who's deciding to do all this stuff, didn't know about Joseph.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and maybe it's possible... You know, when it comes to kings and kingdoms and that sort of thing, maybe it was a king from a different part of the country.
Yeah,
you know, because you have the northern and southern kingdoms of Egypt.
Yep.
Maybe it was an invader king, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know necessarily. The Bible doesn't tell us. We can look into different parts of history, but Egyptian history is very disputed. There's so many different documentaries and so many historians who will say, oh, no, it's 200 years this way or it's 200 years that way.
Okay.
And so it's quite tricky to actually figure out from, I suppose, modern historical records which king it was that was doing this to the Israelites.
We don't
exactly know.
Yeah.
There's some strong arguments and strong words in either direction for different pharaohs and that sort of thing. But all in all, basically what we see is that the Israelites decide to crack down on the Israelites, the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
And force them to do pretty awful things. But interestingly enough, and there's a parallel here to the New Testament, says, but the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. And so then the Egyptians worked them without mercy. And we see a very similar sort of thing happening late in the New Testament and in the early Christian church, right?
Mm.
The more the Romans and the Jewish leaders tried to crack down on the Christians and oppress them and say, no, no, you can't do this, the more Christianity multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Romans became. Right?
Yeah.
So interesting that there's this same sort of parallel, that when you try to oppress people that are following God, it doesn't have the intended result.
Yeah.
Okay, we better go to a song break now, but when we come back, we're going to continue through chapter 1 of Exodus, and then, you know, once we have another break, then we'll start on chapter 2. Easy.
Awesome.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Here is Tim Neufeld with Who Is Like You. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes' time.
The Lord is my strength. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. I will lift Him up. Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Who is like You, majestic in holiness, strength, you will guide them to your holy place. Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Who among the gods is like you? Who in all the heavens? Who among the gods is like you? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Who is like you?
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM.
You are indeed on Conversations here on Faith FM, and welcome back. The song you just heard there was Tim Neufeld with Who Is Like You from the album Glory Revealed. If you're listening live to Conversations, today is Monday, the 23rd of September, and here in Melbourne, it is 11 past four in the afternoon or the evening or that kind of weird space in between. I don't know what you call it. But today on the show, we are talking a bit about Moses, and we're looking at the start of his story in the book of Exodus, and we see that in Exodus chapter 1, which is what we've been looking at so far. And we've basically seen that the Israelites ended up in Egypt, and basically what happens is something that's related to what we're about to do is the Egyptians more or less start mugging them. And so what we're actually going to do, did you like that transition?
I see what you did. Well done.
It was very tacky. But it's a good time actually now to, I reckon we can announce some of the winners of our draw that we did on the show, show, for people to win a Faith FM mug.
Yeah.
So how about we announce them now? And by the way, like as we announce these, we will get in contact with you if you've won a mug. So, you know, you don't need to panic and be like, oh, you know, how on earth
is it me? How do they know? Yep.
Because there might be like two different Tom Jones or David Smith
listening right now.
And, you know, apologies if you have the same name as somebody else who has won something. Hey, maybe if you do have the same name as someone who's won, text in and let us know that. Maybe we can find something special for you as well.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, why not? All right, Alicia, do you want to announce some of our winners?
Yeah, so we've got five winners. We had quite a few people text in. And our winners are, we've got Deanne M.
Ooh.
We've got Zachary C. We have Andrew W., Judith M., and Linda C.
All right. Well, if that's your name and your last initial, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're very stoked.
Officially been mugged.
You have officially been mugged by the Conversations team. So congratulations or not, depending on how you feel about that. we'll get a special Faith FM mug out to you as soon as we can. And, you know, we'd love to get you to send in a little picture of you having a tea or your coffee or your Milo or whatever it is, even if it's just your water. That's all right. congratulations. We will get in touch with you. If you didn't catch your name in there, you know, if we're announcing it on the show today and, you know, you texted in because you were listening to a delayed show or whatever it might be,
that's all good. No stress. We will get one to you. Don't feel the need to panic or anything like that.
Yes.
For everybody who missed out, sorry, but keep listening to conversations.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do some more mugs or maybe do some hats sometime. We've got all sorts of cool Faith FM stuff that we love giving away on the show.
Awesome.
All right. Well, let's continue today. We are in the book of Exodus and we are looking at Exodus chapter 2. So basically we're up to the point where we've seen the Egyptians are turning the Israelites into slaves and they're being really harsh and doing all sorts of nasty things to them. But that's not really stopping the problem in the Egyptians' mind, which is that, oh, there's too many
of them. It's like making it worse for
them. So what does Pharaoh decide to do? We see this in verse 15, 16, 17.
So the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew woman during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. Verse 17?
Yep.
The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live.
Okay, so that's interesting, right? So the Pharaoh has forgotten about, you know, what Joseph, you know, the Israelites' God had done.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of the Egyptians hadn't. Quite interesting.
Oh,
because,
yes.
You know, so they refused to obey the king's orders. My goodness, right?
Yeah.
That's
very dangerous.
Yeah.
Especially for a woman, I feel.
Mm. So, you know, for them, like they were more afraid of disobeying or doing something that would bring the wrath of
this foreign
god on them because they'd seen his power compared to what Pharaoh could do. Okay, that's interesting, right?
So it's not as if
all of the Egyptian people are complicit
totally
in what Pharaoh's doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's a good thing for us to remember that when we see, even in the modern day, but, you know, even in Jesus's day, et cetera, the actions of a leader, you know, it doesn't make everybody else complicit or accountable. We have to treat people as individuals.
Yep.
And we don't just say, well, because your father did this, then you're a rotten sod. So what happens? Let's keep going on. So let's look at maybe we'll just read 18 through to 22. We'll read the last bit of chapter 1 here.
Yeah, sure. And it says, then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwife arrives. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live.
Okay, so that's interesting as well, right? Mm. You know, are the midwives making this up? Maybe. Like the first time I read this story, I was like, it doesn't sound like, I mean, maybe it is legit. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But for the king to actually call them out on it.
Yeah.
And for them to be willing to, you know, lie or whether it's lying or not. Cause to me, I guess at face value, that's kind of what it feels like.
Mm, yeah.
You know, obviously they are more believing in the power of God than they are in the power of Pharaoh. And, and interestingly enough, it says that God rewards them for not doing the wrong thing.
Yep.
And, you know, and it says because they feared him, he gave them families of their own, which is pretty cool. So, you know, it just goes to show, you know, if you have to choose between following what God calls you to do and following what somebody else tells you to do, it's like, well, you know, it might be difficult and scary to follow God in the moment or whatever, but it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
And
sure.
God loves you and he wants to bless you with things. So what does Pharaoh do? He comes up with a real nasty one. He says, all right, so it's not even going to be reliant on the midwives
anymore. Nope.
Yep. And they're going to go and get chucked into the Nile River, which is pretty nasty. And, you know, like I remember sometimes I had conversations with people like this and what we imagine when we say, oh, throw them into the river.
It's like,
oh, the crocodiles are going to get them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, that's so scary and terrible. But it's like, well, realistically, they would drown.
Just, yeah, yeah.
So it's probably not as dramatic as it would often get portrayed, but it's still nasty.
Quite, yeah.
There's nothing nice about this whole situation, right? So you got a lot of people, I imagine, you know, the Israelites would be going, oh, this sucks. Like, what on earth can we possibly do about any of this? So let's go to Exodus chapter 2, and we actually see a very specific example of something. So let's go, we'll look at Exodus chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through to 4.
Yep, and it says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him."
Okay, so we see that, you know, about this same sort of time. So interestingly, right, this is going on for a long time.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so it didn't just happen like within a couple of days. It was quite a period of time.
Yeah, so serious business. So this is like, at least 9 months, right?
Yeah.
Gives birth to a son. She sees that he was a special baby, keeps him hidden for 3 months, you know. I imagine it'd be pretty hard to hide a 3-month-old.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because they don't exactly stay quiet when you tell them to not make a noise. They have a mind of their own.
Exactly. So eventually, you know, it gets to the point where it goes, all right, what on earth can we do? And I don't know necessarily what the expectation was with why she decided to do it in this particular way, right?
Yeah.
But she gets a basket made of papyrus reeds. Which are like, you know, those reed things that just grow alongside a river or a pond or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She waterproofs it. That's what the tar and pitch is all about. She puts the baby in it and she puts it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. So, again, I don't know necessarily what to make of this. Is it a case of she's going, well, I'm technically throwing him in the river, so I can't get in trouble if I do this?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or is it, well, you know, here's just a good place to hide him, and, you know, or is it a case of going, you know, like we often imagine it's like, you know, putting the baby in and he's floating down the river and he's going to disappear off something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't really say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, okay, well, that's what she decides
what
to
happened.
Do.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, the verse 4 says, "The baby's sister stood at a distance watching to see what would happen."
Okay.
And then when we read verse 5, maybe this is the intent of the mother.
Of why she put
the
baby in the basket where she put him.
Yeah. So let's read verse 5.
"Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it."
Okay. So it seems as though, you know, this woman's being fairly, I don't know, smart.
Strategic.
Yeah.
She might have had some foreknowledge of, you know, this is where the Pharaoh's daughter comes down.
Yeah. But either way, like it's a mother going, well, if I'm going to try and save my baby, what's something that would actually give me a chance?
Yeah.
Because at this point it seems pretty hopeless, and what on earth can I possibly
do? Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I would assume she must have figured out that, okay, this is where Pharaoh's daughter comes down to do this. And so we see that the princess sees the basket, and verse 6 says, "When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. And this must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then verse 7, "Then the baby's sister approached the princess." Okay, that's a interesting step, right? To approach the princess. "And says, should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you?"
Oh, okay.
Yep. So maybe this was like a grand plan
that
the family was cooking up. You know, it's not made exactly clear, but to me it seems pretty clever. And the princess says, "Yes, please do that." And so the girl runs off, calls the baby's mother. And the princess says, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you even for your help."
Okay.
So it's interesting how it all goes. Like, it seems very convenient in a sense,
yeah,
here, but
yeah.
I guess in a sense we're talking about, you know, the importance of family earlier in the show. And you just kind of see here, you know, like this family really cares for each other and they're doing everything they can to stay together as a family.
Even if it means risking their lives.
Absolutely. You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. I hope you're enjoying the show today. Remember, you can text in on 04-888-185-00. We're going to hear now More Than Rubies with Live and Breathe. You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM.
The waves of grace wash over me, and I feel how thirsty I am. The truth runs deep to the heart of me, and I see how shallow I've been. Who can satisfy this cavern inside me? Jesus, come and be all I want and all I need. Be my portion and my strength forever. Jesus, come and be all I want and
listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 04-888-185-00. That's 04-888-185-00. That's right. Welcome back. That song you just heard was More Than Rubies with the song Live and Breathe from their self-titled album. Hey, on Conversations today, a little bit earlier, we gave away a bunch of, well, we weren't giving away. We mentioned that a few people had won a bunch of mugs, which is pretty cool. So thank you for everybody who has entered the draw for that. And, you know, we also mentioned that we've what is it? We're going to contact you if you have one. So don't stress, to sit there going, oh, was it me or was it someone else? We will make sure you get it. So don't stress. And if you're listening to a replay, well, sorry, it means that you missed out. We'll say you missed out this time.
This time, yes.
Not permanently. We will give away more great things in the future, but congratulations to everybody who's listening who won a mug. And maybe towards the end of the show, we'll announce the names one more time just so people can actually, if they missed it before, they can go, oh, yay, it's me. Because there's nothing cooler than hearing your own name on the radio, right?
Yeah.
I love that. All right, so on the show today, we've been talking about the story of Moses, at least, the start of his story. And we've been looking in the book of Exodus, and we've basically looked at Exodus chapter 1 that gives us a bit of context to this whole story. You've got the Egyptians cracking down on the Israelites because they were worried about there being too many of them. And we start to go into this specific story of, okay, well, let's look at what happens with one family.
Mm.
And we see that Moses' family are really looking out for him.
Yeah,
they're trying to make sure he survives. They even in verse 2, it says that they saw that he was special. So they're doing everything they can to make sure he survives. And they've concocted this plan, which is basically ends up with the princess of Egypt more or less kind of adopting Moses, which is pretty cool. And it says in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 2, later when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. And the princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. So that's what the name Moses means. So I guess we kind of see that Moses now has this kind of conflicted identity, right?
Yeah.
So he's kind of Israelite and he's kind of Egyptian.
Yeah.
And, he's got two families in a sense, right?
Yeah.
So what happens? Let's keep reading from Exodus chapter 2, and we'll read maybe from verse 11 through to verse 15. Let's go with that.
And it says, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their land, at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptians? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well.
All right. So, this whole situation, I don't know if you think about the movie Anchorman or anything like that, where there's the fight between all the news crews. Anyway, it basically just goes crazy. When instead of it being a fight between two teams, it turns out it's like 10, 15 different teams rock up. And I just remember the old Ron Burgundy line of, boy, that really escalated. It really, really got out of hand. And that's kind of what it feels like here, right?
Yeah.
So Moses, he's grown up. He goes out to, visit his own people, the Israelites, and see what's going on. And maybe, this is the whole conflicted identity thing. He's trying to go, well, maybe the Egyptians see me as one thing and maybe the Israelites view me as, a traitor or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to prove to them that, I'm with them and, whatever. There's lots of assertions we could potentially make, but all we know is that he sees an Egyptian beating up an Israelite and he looks to the left, looks to the right, and he sees that
make
no
sure
one's
it's
watching.
All clear.
And bonks him on the head and does the dirty deed and, kills the guy and hides him.
Yeah.
And so I don't know necessarily what Moses' intent was here. It's not made clear in the Bible. Maybe he was thinking, all right, now it's time for us to rise up or, for the Israelites to really view me as their leader instead of Pharaoh. We don't know. But it says the next day when he goes out to visit his people again, he sees two Israelites this time fighting each other. And, it's not as if he goes over this time and kills one of them. Or anything like that.
Yeah.
This time, the Israelites respond, and he says, "Oh, you know, who made you the boss, basically?
Yeah.
Right? You know, if you think you're so good, are you going to kill me like you did that other guy you did?"
Mm.
And, you know, in ancient Egypt, you know, sometimes we like to think, oh, you know, primitive society or whatever, but they actually had a pretty decent legal code for a lot of different things, right? Oh, okay,
yep.
And for the crime of murder, the punishment was capital punishment.
Oh, yeah.
So if you killed someone, you could expect to be killed yourself. As well.
Yep.
And maybe, you know, it's not really that different to what it was like in Roman society. If you killed a Roman citizen, you would be put to death.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you killed a slave, you know, there was lesser repercussions and that sort of thing because a slave was viewed as your property. But the crime of murder had a specific punishment, which was the death penalty. And so basically we see here, so Moses goes, uh-oh, everybody knows that I've killed an Egyptian. And sure enough, Pharaoh hears about it and he's like, sorry, mate.
Yeah.
You know, them's the rules. And he says, all right, well, Moses, you've made this decision, so it's your head on the chopping block now.
Yeah. That would have been conflicting for him as well when the Hebrew guys were like, who made you judge and ruler over us? Because I don't know if in his mind he would have thought that he was doing them a favor by killing the Egyptian dude, but then they're like looking at him like he's still, you know, an Egyptian.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a funny situation, right? Because, you know, often we look at Bible stories and we go, well, we see that in situations God raises someone up and puts them in a position in order to bring about his plans.
Mm.
You know, we see that happen with Joseph, for example.
Yeah.
You know, Joseph ends up in this position of power in Egypt in order to save the rest of his family.
Mm.
And with Moses, it kind of seems like, wow, you know, God has put him already in this position of power. He's become a prince of Egypt, and surely this will be, you know,
be the pathway.
Exactly. This will be the pathway, that sort of thing. And that's kind of what you'd expect.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But what actually happens is kind of the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's like Moses does this thing and it actually seems to really backfire if freeing the Israelites is the plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, all right, I guess I'm out of Egypt. I'm not a prince anymore. I'm having to run away from the Egyptian family. I'm having to run away also from the Israelites. It's kind of like,
You would kind of think that was it for him.
Yeah.
You know,
like, oh, well, he's kind of stuffed now.
Yeah.
What on earth is supposed to happen? And so, you know, like we can go on a little bit further, basically. And let's read, we'll read verses 16 through to 19, for example, in Exodus chapter 2.
Yep. And it says, now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flocks. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, why have you returned so early? They answered, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock.
Okay, so there's some interesting things to pull out here. So it says a priest of Midian. What on earth is Midian? Any ideas?
No.
Okay, so Midian was actually a descendant of Abraham.
Oh, okay.
So Abraham, you know, he had his wife Sarah, and he also, you know, had children through Sarah's servant Hagar.
Yeah. Yep.
But later on, he actually married two others. I think it was the name Kareel or something like that. Also had a son whose name was Midian.
Oh, okay.
So this guy here is a descendant. So there's actually a bit of a family connection here, funnily enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And so these were the people who were actually kind of living out back towards Canaan where the Israelites had initially been living.
Yep.
And so, you know, it says, okay, so he has seven daughters and they would usually rock up. You know, interestingly, having seven daughters doesn't appear to say he has any sons because usually it would be the job of the sons or the servants to go out and do this menial task of looking after the sheep and that sort of thing. But Moses goes out there and, you know, there's some other shepherds that interrupt the girls from doing their job.
Mm.
When I say the girls, we don't know how old they are. But Moses jumps up and intervenes, and then he actually serves them, which again is such an odd thing for someone who has been a prince, right?
Yeah.
To do for other people. And then, you know, these girls return to their father. It says here Ruel, but the name is another name that this guy had that might be more well known, which is Jethro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so maybe you've heard the name Jethro before.
Yeah.
There's actually a whole religion called the Druze religion who views Jethro as the most significant person in their religion.
Oh, wow.
Random side note.
Yeah.
But he sees him and he goes, oh, how come you're back so early? Which is kind of a funny remark. Yeah. I mean, did the other guys not beat you up today? Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. But they respond and say, oh, well, there was an Egyptian and he rescued us from the shepherds. And then he even drew water for us and watered our flocks. And so in the eyes of these guys, Moses is not an Israelite.
Mm.
He's an Egyptian.
Yep.
And so, you know, now he's got this whole different identity with these other people and that sort of thing. And basically what happens is Jethro says, all right, well, you know, what are you doing, right? He did something nice for you.
Where'd he go?
He's an Egyptian. Egypt's the most powerful kingdom around.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should help
befriend this guy.
Yeah. And so basically we see, like, in the end of chapter 2 of Exodus here, Moses accepts the invitation. He joins mm-hmm. up with Jethro's family. He even marries one of Jethro's daughters, Zipporah, and he has a kid, and he's kind of just living out there.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
And we don't see the timeline of it here, but we actually discover in the book of Acts that Moses was there for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
So the first 40 years of his life, he was living in Egypt. And then the next 40 years of his life, he's living out here in the sticks, okay. Working as a shepherd.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we come back from the next break, we'll kind of look at this in a different light. Because at the moment, yeah. It kind of seems like, well, whatever Moses could have possibly done,
yeah.
It's out the window now, right?
He's yeah, not in yeah.
Egypt. He doesn't have any power or authority or position or anything like that.
Yeah.
So what on earth can he possibly do? That's what we're going to look at. You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. We're going to hear now Colin Buchanan with the song, It Was His Idea. And we hope you're enjoying the show today. Remember, you can text in at any point on 0488 185 00. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes' time.
A setting sun on Uluru, a mother's whispered, I love you. The winning goal in extra time, it was his idea. A friend to hold you in your grief, the shooting star, the coral reef, that beautiful discovery, that was his idea. It was his idea. He's the reason that we're here. Jesus got his fingerprints on everything that's good. The tender touch of skin on skin, the oxygen we're breathing in, the song, the dance, the work of art, was his idea. The hunger inside me and you that longs for grace and justice too, mercy by another's blood, that was his idea. It was his idea. He's the reason that we're here. Jesus got his fingerprints on everything that's good. Not chasing mist, not playing chance, not by an empty circumstance. When every atom, every cell screams, it was his idea. He's the reason that we're here. Jesus got his fingerprints on everything that's good. Yeah.
say we meet, we live, we die. There is no truth, but God's a lie. One day every tongue will cry. It was his idea.
You just heard there Colin Buchanan with It Was His Idea from the album Calvary Road. Really great album, actually. Mm. I really like that
it's
album,
a nice song.
Calvary Road. And, you know, maybe a lot of people have heard of Colin Buchanan and all of his kids' songs that he does. But he actually does.
Oh, I don't think I may know the songs, but I probably didn't know it was him.
Maybe we'll play some on the show next week.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some fun ones. But, you know, he's done heaps of kids' albums over the years, but he's actually a really great, like, country musician as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Really nice guy. I actually met him a few years back. He came to our church and he was doing a kids' concert.
Cool. Just a
really genuine, down-to-earth kind of guy. So,
oh, nice.
Shout out to Colin. We love you. You're an awesome bloke. Thank you for the great music that you put out.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, for writing stuff for kids as well. I think that's a really cool thing. Something very special. Okay, we are today looking at part of the story of Moses here. And we've got to the point, basically, where it seems like, what on earth is going on? Because the Israelites are in crisis. They had this guy, Moses, who, you know, is kind of split between a couple of families.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he's being built up to be the one who's going to rescue them from
somehow.
This situation.
Yeah.
And it all kind of goes south, although technically Moses goes north, but yeah, blah, blah, blah. it all kind of goes south. Moses is chased out of Egypt, kind of on pain of death if he comes back because mm-hmm. he's killed somebody. And he ends up out in the bush, marries a girl out there, has a son, and he starts working
just
as a
living
shepherd.
Life.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's just kind of disconnected from it all now, really.
And you were saying it was 40 years he was?
It was about 40 years he was actually out there.
Wow.
So I think technically if you do the math, at this point Moses was 67 years old or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he'd been in Egypt for the first part of his life. Now he's out here. And I think it was technically 30 years that he's out here.
Oh, okay.
Working out in the bush, you know, away from all the problems, away from everything else. Do we say away from what God had intended? You know?
Mm.
And verse 23 and 24 of Exodus says, years passed and the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan under their burden of slavery. They cried out for help and their cry rose up to God. And verse 24 says, God heard their groaning and he remembered his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. And we're not going to look into chapter 3 of Exodus today.
Yep.
But basically what we see happen is after, you know, God decides to act, what does he do? He actually reaches out to Moses.
Mm.
You know, this guy who it seemed like is kind of like, well, he's stuffed up and he's out of the picture now.
Yeah.
He's done, man.
And
know?
It's been quite a while, and he's just like,
he's got nothing
chilling.
To do with it. Yep. But God actually reaches out to Moses and says, all right, you're going to be the leader. You're going to be the one who I'm going to use to do impossible, amazing things.
Mm, yeah. I wonder how that would have felt for Moses. I always try and, like, after everything that he's been through.
He might have been like, man, I've been trying to forget that. I've been trying to put it out of my mind for, like, 3 decades and coming back now. it's tricky. But you know what's really interesting with this? And I want to actually go to the book of Genesis here. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 15, I think it is. It might be 15 or potentially 16, but I think it's 15. And we actually see that God made a promise to one of Moses's, you know, it would be his great, great, great something, however many great grandfathers, Abraham. And in, where are we looking? We're looking in Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 12 through to 16. And now this is a really interesting passage in the Bible here. So Genesis 15 and verses 12 through to 16.
Yep, and it reads, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure.
Oh, okay. So this is one of the most interesting little pockets in Genesis for me. You know, there's heaps of interesting stuff to pull out, right? But in particular here, you know, God gives Abram this particular vision of the future.
Yeah.
And he says, all right, verse 13, you can be sure of this. Your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land. Did that happen?
Yes.
Yep. All right. They ended up in Egypt, where they will be oppressed as slaves.
Did that happen?
Yep. For 400 years. Did that happen? Yep. Yes. So, okay. So we see that all comes to fruition, right? Mm-hmm. And then he says, but then I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they'll come away with great wealth. Now, do we know that this happens, right?
Yes.
Well, we have the plagues that come upon Egypt.
Yep.
We see basically like the destruction, a lot of the military, a lot of their, you know, fighting age men, basically, with the firstborns dying. And in the end, the Egyptians basically give a whole bunch of money to the Israelites and all sorts of things and to convince them to get out of here.
Leave,
you know?
Go.
We don't want this.
Yep.
And it says, after four generations, your descendants will return here to this land for the sins of the Amorites. And I'm reading New Living Translation here. It says, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction.
Oh, okay.
So if we actually look a little bit later on, in the book of Exodus, we see it's in Exodus chapter 12. We're not going to read it, but there's a specific number of years that we actually see that it takes for the Israelites to get back to, you know, the land of Canaan.
Mm.
And instead of being 400, it's about 430.
Okay.
Now, what did we say before? You know, how long was Moses stuffing around in the wilderness for? It was about 30 years. And so, you know, God had said something and, you know, we look at it and we go, oh, okay, so God's plans got delayed by 30 or 40 years because Moses stuffed up.
Hmm.
Oh, Moses, you know, how could you possibly do that? Da, 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 da. But what we actually see is, as opposed to that, what I think it is God actually brings the Israelites back to Canaan a lot earlier than we kind of think, because he brings them back there and then they kind of say, oh, God, there's scary people here. We don't trust you. And God says, all right, well, you can wander around in the wilderness for the next 30, 40 years. Because if you're too afraid to go in, then, you know, that's like, so God actually fulfills his promise of saying, all right, 400 years. Yep, we'll get you back.
Yeah.
So God fulfills that promise. And so the extra time is not God stuffing up this prophetic thing. It's the Israelites actually kind of saying, oh, no, I'm too scared. You know, we can't do it. You know, I don't trust you, God.
Ah, I gotcha.
So at first we might look at it and go, oh, you know, this extra period of time is because Moses stuffed up and what a stuff up. And, oh, but God was willing and gracious to work with him. And that's not to say that Moses didn't stuff up.
Yeah.
But it actually shows that God knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, it does too.
And he was still willing to work with Moses and he was still willing to make him the leader.
Yeah, yeah.
And still willing to trust him and bless him and all these other things. So it's not necessarily a case of going, oh, you know, when we stuff up, we're stuffing up God's plans, sort of thing. God still loves us. And, you know, the fact that we will stuff things up.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he accounts for it, you know. He's not saying, all right, if you do something wrong, I'm going to boot you out the door. You've got to
find someone else. Yeah.
God still has his plans to save us.
Yeah.
And whether we work with him or against him or not involved, he's still going to get done what he needs to get done.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is such a cool thing. So anyway, I guess instead of looking at Moses here and going, oh, well, you know, he wasted everything that God had intended. On the flip side, we see that God very specifically knows what he's doing.
Knows exactly, yeah.
Yeah, we see here God had his plan laid out for the time frame. And what's also interesting, right, is at the end of this verse, why on earth would God allow any of it to happen, right? This seems to be the nasty thing. Oh, how could God do something as awful as saying, oh, your descendants will be enslaved and treated nastily and da-da-da. Oh, God, how could you possibly allow that? But we see at the end there, it says, after four generations, your descendants would return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction. So God actually may sometimes allow us to go through something difficult if it's the only way for somebody else to be saved.
Oh.
And we see that, you know, God is showing patience and grace to this other people, the Amorites, and saying, well, if there's possibly a way that they can be saved and not need to be destroyed, I'm going to give them all the time and all the opportunity I possibly can.
Until it's
time. Until it's, well, until it comes to the point where they've made that decision. And then I'm going to bring the Israelites back. And because they've made their decision, they are going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes people look at the Old Testament and go, oh, you know, God is the God of genocide and evil, and how could he possibly do these sorts of things? And it's kind of like, well, it's saying, well, if God is loving and that's his character, he can't tolerate evil forever.
Well, yeah.
And amazing that he actually gave, you know, these people, instead of just saying, well, you got a week, figure it out.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too. Like, he could have just destroyed them, you know, just like that. But I think just shows how gracious he really is. And that's really encouraging for us, because I know sometimes we get to a point where it's like, oh, I've done too much, or God's not going to... I had this conversation with my brother today.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, I can't go back to God. I've done so many things, but his door is always open, and I think that's the amazing thing about the God that we serve.
Yeah, God isn't asking us to be perfect before we come to him, and he doesn't expect us to be perfect in order to ask for forgiveness or repent. Yeah. So, anyway, I just think this is a cool story that kind of shows that, you know, we're all in God's timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we go through difficult things and we say, oh, how could this possibly happen? But God is showing grace to us. And he's showing grace to someone like Moses, who seemed to stuff everything up. He's showing grace to an evil people, the Amorites.
Yeah.
And he wants to show grace to all of us,
too. To all of us, yeah.
So, you know, this whole story really just shows how good God is, as opposed to how Moses was.
Yeah. Like, really does.
So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you to everybody for joining us on Conversations today. Oh, it's been an interesting little chat.
It's been really good,
The Bible. Alicia, do you want to read out for us, just one more time before we wrap the show, the names of the winners of our mug giveaway?
Our mugs, yes. And our winners, once again, is Deanne M. We've got Zachary C., Andrew W., Judith M., and Linda Clark. And we will be getting in touch with all of you really soon to get these mugs out to you.
Yep. Congratulations on winning a Faith FM mug. And what's the term for, like, not congratulations? Commiserations to everybody who didn't win one this time. But, you know, there'll be plenty of other opportunities. We love giving them away. And if you're listening live, today was Monday the 23rd of September.
Yes.
Just so you understand, you know, the context of this whole thing, because you might be going, oh, hang on, when was this giveaway? Well, thank you for joining Alicia and myself on Conversations today. And we are looking forward to spending time with you again, same time next week.
Definitely.
See you later.
Thank you.